I'm gonna go talk about girls with my mom in a restaurant.
Let's maybe get they're menstrual. Try to be best, cause you're only Miyagi's already given him the rub and tug. Try to
believe, though the going gets tough. Johnny's a little bitch. History
repeats itself. Try and use. He wouldn't be the first guy to suck his way back to the valley. And you can have your dream. You're the best
around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Hello and welcome. We're back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am, as always, your host, Brian Beckner. Stoked you're here. Stoked you are joining us. Today's show's a special one, episode 52. You know, there are few sports moments that resonate for everyone. Of course, I'm talking about April 8th, 1974, Hank Aaron's famous home run. February 22nd, 1980. Do you believe in miracles? April 15th, 1947, Jackie Robinson breaks the color barrier. Well, here at theballerlifestyle.com, we remember December 19th is also one of those anniversaries. Of course, everyone knows it's the 30th anniversary of one of the greatest moments in American sporting history. Of course, I'm talking about Daniel LaRusso's out-of-nowhere victory in the 1984 All-Valley Karate Tournament from the seminal film The Karate Kid. Today, we here at The Baller Lifestyle remember that film, and let's get into it. I am joined, as always, by co-host of the program, writer, former Bond shark, Maryland Terp, and much like Daniel LaRusso, favorite son of the state of New Jersey, Ed Daly. Ed, how the
Garden
fuck are
State.
You?
I'm doing well. This is right in my power alley right now.
Outstanding. Yeah, this is where you live and breathe for sure. Joining us also is Western Australia's finest export, television production mogul, baller lifestyle pop culture correspondent, baller lifestyle bachelor correspondent, and person who until last night wasn't sure she'd ever seen The Karate Kid and still isn't what I would describe as a fan. Of course, I'm talking about everyone's favorite, Kate McManus, a.k.a. Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
Hey, I'm good.
We also, that's the regular crew. Everybody knows us. You listen every week. You know who you're dealing with. But we have some special guests today, former guests of the show, back with us. First, you hear him every Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time as my sidekick on Brian Beckner's Friday Facts on Yahoo Sports Radio, where I understand he also hosts a show of his own. This guy has been known to murder a burrito. His irons severely lack compression. Of course, I'm talking about the great Travis Rogers. Travis, welcome.
I'm more of a sweeper. I don't really hit down on the ball so right. much as more as right. I pick it off the
right.
glass.
That's and that's
I,
bad. That's no, it's embarrassing.
You're supposed to compress it. It's right. supposed to make that shump sound. I right. do that. Well, it goes click.
Try to compress your takes on this show because you've been known to be long-winded in the past. I need a nice tight hour out of everybody here, and I hope you can supply that.
Fine.
Also joining us, and he's been on the show quite a bit, many more times than Travis Rogers. he's a media
I've
icon.
I've only been invited twice.
That's
I've
right.
showed up both
that's,
times.
That's absolutely true. We appreciate it. Well, you're a big star. Our other guest, he's a media icon. He's a former blind date contestant. He's an actor who's rumored to be in the running for a national fast food campaign as we speak. He's done scenes with Lou Diamond Phillips. He's done scenes with Gina Gershon. Mm-hmm. He's done scenes with Meadow Soprano. Of course, I'm talking about the great Jason Stewart. Jason, welcome to the show.
That never gets old. The intro, you could spend another couple minutes on that. I do want to clarify one thing. Travis can be long, and his takes tend to be a little bit lengthy, but that's when he has strong takes.
That's true.
Yeah, he hasn't always had strong takes.
Sometimes I've been told that my takes are weak.
His irons lack compression, and sometimes his takes lack strength. Jason, as we're talking about a movie today, as a guy that has acted in movies, can you discuss for me particularly, talk about the sexual tension you had with Gina Gershon on set. Was it difficult for you to act in a scene with her knowing how much of a man you are and how much she was feeling you as a man?
Well, quick story. I actually met her for the first time in the makeup room. Yes, men get made up on the set. That's and right. She came through with a robe with nothing but like a bra and panties underneath.
Oh my God.
And
slow down.
My goodness,
she was telling the makeup artist that she was going to a Kings of Leon concert in Toronto that night, and that was like my band for that week.
Oh no,
Kings of Leon.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I hope this was 10 years ago.
It was.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Yeah. Yeah. That's when I was famous.
Is that a real band?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I remember
a real shitty band.
If
continue.
You say so.
I remember shoehorning a conversation with her just to do it. To be like
right.
awkward. And
I
want to
have a talk with her.
Try to,
yes,
yeah.
that's what you're best at.
And she could not have been sweeter and friendly. And I'm like, this is great rapport. We're going to go on set and we're just going to knock it out of the park. And on the day, that's a movie term. Kate knows this.
Right.
At the moment we shot, I completely crapped my pants and did a horrible scene, and we had to redo it infamously on the Jim Rome show.
That's right.
But she could not have been a better person to work with, and she's really hot. And you're right; it's tough to kind of keep it down when you're with her, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely,
I'm getting uncomfortable.
Yes, that's a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. And metal.
You go
soprano,
semi? Were you semi?
Like, it sounds like he was fully engorged.
Or is that the Texas belt buckle? You just go pin up.
I specifically remember telling the director to get me from my belly button up because it might be distracting.
You had to go pin up.
Outstanding. Well, excellent.
I have a 14-year-old son who needs to learn that.
Excellent insight.
A lot of tent pitching going on. A lot of, like, early in the morning, he comes down and is like, dude, you need to tuck that.
Right.
Yeah.
Sports show
down.
Of record, pop culture show of record, and now prepubescent erection show of record,
yeah.
The Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Okay. I say let's get into it. Not a lot of time here. We need to talk about the film at hand. Of course, I've mentioned it already. December 19th, one of the great sports tournaments of all time happened 30 years ago on that day. Of course, I'm talking about the All Valley Karate Tournament. And I had a chance to rewatch the movie. And I'm just going to go through it chronologically. And anybody that wants to – I'm going to hit the high points. Anybody that wants me to stop and chime in and tell me something I've missed, go ahead. But first, let's talk about it. The movie opens with a long montage. Daniel LaRusso leaves New Jersey. Ed, you're from New Jersey. I noticed that everyone backs their cars into their parking spot. There's barely enough room on the street to leave the street. I picture that being the street that you live on. Ed, can you speak to the New Jersey experience?
Well, I can speak to – I live in Hoboken, New Jersey. Newark is where the airport is.
That's right.
And it's also where, let's just say, nobody looking like the people in LaRusso's neighborhood. He was given a send-off by, I don't know, 8 to 12 white people and – let's just say that the whitest person in Newark is Mayor Cory Booker. Like, it is unbelievably, let's just say, democratic.
So,
they
present a gentrified Newark in the
film.
And
there was nobody that entire drive, right? From when he leaves Newark, like a very crowded city, until he gets to California. He doesn't even pass cars on the road.
Right. Yeah, they took like Route 66. Yeah, they weren't on any big highways, and they stopped everywhere. They hit the Grand Canyon. Daniel LaRusso leaves supreme shithole Newark to supremer shithole Reseda.
He had to match the shitholes coast to coast.
Yeah,
no, they did a good job.
For a romantic getaway at the Grand Canyon with his mom.
Right, yeah, that was a little weird.
Why did they move halfway across the country when she's like an assistant manager in a restaurant?
We'll get to that.
That doesn't seem like something that would
that's
really
a good question.
Very often.
They find the montage goes on for maybe – it's a two-hour movie. The opening montage may be like 14 minutes. They arrive in Reseda at the apartment complex.
And they had to push the car for the last 300 miles.
The car got pushed a lot. We get our first glimpse of Daniel LaRusso and, more important, Daniel's
– It's LaRusso.
I don't know. I don't know the difference. No one does.
It's not Tony.
Oh.
It's LaRusso.
It's either LaRusso or LaRusso.
Yeah.
No one knows.
No, LaRusso
we know it's
manager.
O.
No, I'm
and LaRusso is the
– I'm going to agree to disagree. It's either. I have it both ways, and it's – no one's sorted it out.
Can I do the first rewind? I mean, I've already
yep.
–
okay.
We need to go back now.
Get
and
back
know,
to it.
I know Ed's got thoughts on this, but, you know, that piece of garbage – station wagon they get in. And to Travis's point,
it's,
they didn't go halfway across
the country.
It's
a stick shift, by the way.
Yeah, they went all the way across
all
the
way.
Country. 3,000 miles, right?
Top of the second.
And for you fans of 80s movies, I mean, Even like the Wagon Queen family truckster with the metallic pea color only made it halfway across the country, and they bought that right off the lot.
Right.
And this thing had been 10 years old when they took it. I don't think that just a couple of jump starts was going to get this thing across the country. So I call BS right off
the bat. An interesting question. Why not sell it for $900? Right. Use the $4,000 in gas it's going to take to get that thing across the country?
Like I said, I mean, they've already established there are no black people in Newark. This is a pure fantasy movie right from the get-go.
They drive the family truckster across the country. They show up. They leave Newark. They show up, and basically Lucille, the mother, Lucille LaRusso. Is it LaRusso or LaRussa? Have we determined?
We're going to keep doing that, huh?
I'm not positive.
I am. It's O.
Lucille LaRusso, it turns out, has moved her kid across the country to basically what looks to me like some sort of a heroin shooting gallery.
Is that the apartment complex where Butch left his watch in Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Same one.
Exactly. It's the apartment complex where dreams go to die.
Yes. They have kitchenettes. They have weekly rentals.
I feel like there should have been a body in that pool.
That's why it was that color.
Yes, there's a brand new inflatable swan in like a dirty old pool.
The set dressing was pretty good.
But so he shows up. He has an awkward encounter with his new best friend, Freddy Fernandez. Go.
Can we just back up and talk about Daniel's outfit, Ralph Macchio? I thought it was Ralph Macho until I was about 20.
Right. He's neither.
He's got lesbian mom jeans on the bottom.
He does.
And then he's got like a twink style cut up t-shirt on top.
That's true.
And some Nike bowling shoes that he wears in every scene that he's wearing shoes.
They're like
in the movie.
Suede Nike running shoes. His pants.
They look like bowling
shoes.
His
pants don't come anywhere near the shoes. And for
and
some
he
reason,
he tucks in his shirt every shirt,
and he rips his sleeves off, and he's got pipe cleaner arms.
He's got a sleeveless muscle shirt and sans muscles.
He's the least masculine leading man.
Leading man's a stretch. How old is he in this movie? Is he 14 playing a 17-year-old?
I don't know. He's 22 or so.
Yeah. I don't accept that.
Right, but
in
he's 22.
What age was he playing?
The high school junior, so he's 16, 17.
Yeah, 16, 17. We know he's a junior, though.
He had his 16th birthday with Miyagi. So, he was 15.
Right. All right, wow. He gets his license. That's right.
But he was not actually 16, you're telling me?
Right. Mr. Miyagi.
He looks like he's 16.
Okay, so we move on. He meets Freddy Fernandez. Freddy Fernandez, who we'll get to in a minute.
And by the way, he's wearing
one box.
Speaking of outfits,
with a yellow laundry basket
and a suitcase,
and Freddie Fernandez's T-shirt said "Make and Bacon" on it when he kicked
that's
it.
Right, that's right. It's a classic T-shirt.
It's a sweet shirt.
And Freddie somehow is hooked up with some people from high school. Apparently, he has friends, and he invites Daniel LaRusso to a beach party. I don't know if we want to get into...
Well, we need to talk about just how friendly this Freddy character
is. Okay,
let's talk
about him.
Nobody, especially in Southern California, is that friendly and outgoing. You almost get the vibe right away, like, what angle is this kind of semi-homosexual Latino working on the new guy from New Jersey?
That's
same angle that Mr. Miyagi worked about 40 minutes later.
Making bacon with chloroform, it sounded like that was his next move.
He was just so over-the-top friendly. I mean, think about how the relationship began. The kid got hit in the face with a fence that Daniel kicked in. And he just brushed it off as if nothing happened. He offered to carry his stuff. Like, what, is Daniel an 82-year-old woman? He needs help with stuff
well,
up the stairs?
I feel like it's pretty clear, and I think this is obvious. And had they done a sequel, we would have learned about this. Maybe a spinoff. For Freddy Fernandez, he's clearly a rent boy. He's invited Daniel LaRusso to a beach party to indoctrinate him into the world of amyl nitrates.
You get the feeling that beach party is a synonym.
It's code.
Like the lemon party for teenagers.
What he wants Daniel to do
is a lemon party.
What he wants to do is turn tricks. He wants to turn Daniel on to turning tricks because he gets a cut from the pimp. I think that's clear.
Who's the pimp?
Whoever Freddy's pimp is.
Okay.
That's why he's brought him to
Mr. Bacon.
Miyagi.
We digress here. Let's get to the important part. The next big scene in the movie is the beach party, and that is where we first meet Zoftig Lizzie Shue. Everyone, I think, would agree
huge fan of Zoftig Lizzie Shue, correct?
Absolutely.
By far the best scene in the movie.
It is.
Because she's in that bikini or that swimsuit, and it doesn't fit real good, which makes it even a little bit better.
Yep.
She's just kind of discovering herself, and we're discovering her at the same time.
It's okay because she was 21 in real life.
right. And it's really, really wonderful, and she, for some reason, finds Daniel interesting, and he doesn't quite know what to do. And then they talk about his moves, if you have any moves from New Jersey.
Right. That's
And what soccer game were they playing? It looked like 6-on-0. They were just racing
let's just
up
run
and
with
down.
A soccer ball.
It seems like they kind of they a little bit of typecasting there, that Freddie Fernandez is playing soccer. There wasn't a chance to play a little wiffle ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, hockey.
Also, can we discuss Daniel's menopausal sweat patches at the beach? All over it, like strategically placed all over his t-shirt.
Throughout
the movie.
A lot of weird sweating in this movie.
But Travis and I are both fans of healthy-looking women.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Shue in this movie was really kind of a perfect type for us, in that she, there's nothing overly thin, lean, skinny.
She just looks like a real person.
She was thick in all the right places, and not sure if she was nominated, but she was definitely deserving of an Academy Award because she appeared to be into Daniel LaRusso, despite the fact
that he was a twink, could see her vagina noticeably
become drier at Daniel's soccer juggling display. Also, and here's the thing we need to get to. I don't know if this is an LA thing, if this is a Southern California thing, but these people are from the Valley and they're at the beach. Pretty much every beach is a tremendous hike from the Valley. I assume Allie got a ride in her dad's baller Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. But how'd Daniel get to the beach? He couldn't possibly have pedaled his oversized BMX bike there.
Yeah, that is strange.
The Cobra Kai show up. They're drinking. They're drinking beers, and they're on dirt bikes. Did they ride their dirt bikes on the 405?
I think the thing is with all 80s movies is nobody knows that the Valley is a long way away from the beach, and it doesn't matter.
The movie makers everyone thinks that if you live in California, you're right next to the beach.
Yeah, we know it, but that doesn't matter.
So it's programmed for people outside of the general area. Ed, you had a point.
Well, this scene is so important to learn the true villain of the movie, Freddie Fernandez. This is all about him, this scene. Because he's the one who said, make a move towards Allie.
It's true.
And then he's the one who goads him on with the fight. Mm-hmm.
And then, doesn't he disappear? Like, do we see him again after this?
Oh, we do. And I'll bring that up.
Barely. I know what you're getting at. Barely. Okay. Yeah. So the Cobra Kai shows up at the party. They're drinking.
Can we talk about their names?
Let's get in.
They all end with Y.
Right.
Like
except for
boys.
Dutch.
Right.
Dutch.
He's obviously the most important one.
He's pretty scary.
He's a psychopath.
I'll make an argument.
Wait, he's a sociopath.
No, I'll
he's
make the
one. Johnny.
Bobby. Yeah, Bobby.
Johnny, Tommy, and Bobby.
Right. Johnny, Tommy, Bobby, and Dutch.
I mean, that made me laugh so much.
Tommy and Dutch are full-on sociopaths.
Bobby's got a bit of a heart. Tommy being the scariest.
There's nothing better than badass 80s kids.
What I like best about Bobby, and you guys could probably relate, is that he's got a great poker face. You never know how he's feeling.
He's never spastically reacting to anything. Very dry. Doesn't wear his emotions on his sleeve.
I picture the director saying, I'm going to need more. I need more. I know you're giving me some, but I need more.
Definitely not. No, we don't need you to tone it down.
He's from the Jason Stewart very dry school of acting.
That's right.
Exactly right.
I don't know if this is the right time to ask this question but why are we deciding that the kid that if Johnny Lawrence is the alpha in the school?
Clearly.
He's on the karate team.
Yes, right.
Never in the history of the world has the alpha of a school.
That's kind of a global question,
team.
Travis. Yes.
But that's what I mean.
Karate like, soccer combo.
He should be the quarterback.
Of course.
He should be the shortstop.
Of course.
He should be the point guard on the basketball team. There goes Johnny Lawrence. He has a really good karate school. I mean, like, why is that? Why didn't the football players go and kick his ass?
He knows how to fill out a
key. Is it the sensei? He's the teacher's pet.
Yeah.
And he wears his...
But it's karate. The only guys that go to karate are the kids that get cut from the football
team. That's right.
He also wears his bangs over his headband.
That's very important. Yes, he does.
A lot of members only, Johnny's a little bitch.
Okay, so the Cobra Kai shows up to the party. Johnny clearly...
Tommy gets him riled up, though. Tommy's the one who spots it and gets them all riled up. Yeah. looks like she's not the only, or you're not the only one moving on senior year or something like that.
Yeah. He's like, check it out. And yeah, somebody's like, I thought they broke up, and she did, he didn't.
And he's wearing Michael Jackson's jacket from Thriller.
Yeah, they're all karate related though. Their jackets, they have.
I love those jackets.
Yeah, they all have. They're like embroidered with their dojo on them.
Also, there's so many sick burns in this movie,
and there's millions.
Those were some of them. And we're gonna talk about them as we go through.
To me, one of the best lines of the movie is this, because it means nothing. It's like an entire dialogue that means nothing, but I guess it's just the way they say it. This is how Johnny presents one of the best lines of the movie. At 8 a.m. tomorrow, I'm a senior.
Yes.
And I'm going to make it 1 year. I'm going to make it 1 year to make it all work. We're going to make it all work.
Like what was broken?
What? What does that even mean?
We already had an Allie in a motorcycle. Yeah. What else did he need?
He's a defending champion of the karate world. Yes. So like...
Where can you go from there?
He's king shit.
Seriously.
His dad's bought him some fucking old convertible that looks like it's worth $100,000, but I can't even make out the make of it.
He has a full wardrobe of pastel outfits. Yeah.
He's got a headband. It's the 80s.
He was also an evil diver.
He has feathered blow-dried hair.
He was a diver in a different
Chaz.
Movie. Yeah. Okay, let's
Maybe
get back
they're
to
menstrual.
The Cobra Kai
get
shows
back
up.
To the fight.
Johnny's got his fucking nuts out. He's pissed. Then we have the infamous give me my radio scene. Lawrence heads down to the beach. He turns off the radio and he's like, Allie, I want to talk to you, only to have Daniel LaRusso? Daniel LaRusso enter the fray and get his ass beat thoroughly by Johnny Lawrence.
But he knocks him down, and who picks him up after the first like beating where it's like, hey, you're out of your league here? Freddie picks him up and goes, let's go, get up, and it throws him right back into the fight.
Right, yes.
And that was
what an asshole.
That was 2 minutes before he and his buddies just ran off and left Daniel there.
They're like the Karate Kid.
Daniel gets the shit kicked out of him, and then all of Freddie's buddies, who cowered the entire time like pussies, were like, what's up with you bringing that guy?
You sure know how to pick good nice friends.
A guy that sticks up for a woman and gets his ass kicked? What's up with that? What an asshole.
So
do we? Is this where we bring up the part where he had to get back to Reseda from wherever they
exactly
were?
On his bike,
or he earned his ride?
That's right.
He's a lot closer to that than he is in the valley.
He went Dirk Diggler, and it was around the same time.
He wouldn't be the first guy to suck his way back to the valley. I think we all know that.
Can we talk about the fact that Elizabeth Shue's character, is it Allie with an I or Hallie?
Allie
with an I.
You know LaRusso, but you don't know Allie.
Allie with an I.
She's so rich that she has a 1799 ghetto blaster with a cassette player.
That's true. She
has so much money, she had a ghetto blaster with a cassette player. And that thing just took a beating.
I feel like in 84, whenever that was the baller.
There are two people that have owned that radio.
The thing probably weighed six tons.
Hold on, Ed, make your point.
There are two people that have owned that radio, Allie and Radio Raheem from Do the Right
That's
Thing.
That's exactly right. Give me 20 motherfucking D-batters.
And also, if Daniel wanted to win that fight, he should have picked up that boombox and chucked it at Johnny.
Right. Well, and
he would have been dead.
Johnny took care of that thing with his CR250 as he rode off down the beach. Also, in California, if you got a motorcycle within 500 yards of the beach, you would be getting thumped by every fucking cop in that beach town. It's just so difficult to believe.
That's also the same, Brian, when Johnny kicks Daniel's ass and turns to Elizabeth Shue, Howie with an eye, and says, "This is your fault." First sign that he's a psychopath. He was actually victim blaming Ray Rice.
That's exactly right. Yeah. She deserved it.
Look at what you made me do.
That's what they all say. You shouldn't have made me so mad.
Right. Why won't you just listen?
Yes.
Look at what you made me do.
Yes.
My only crime is loving you too much.
That's right. Kate, any thoughts on that?
Listen.
Johnny's a huge misogynist. I'm very afraid of him at this point.
Of course. So after that thorough ass beating, all Daniel ends up with is a black eye.
I also love how someone's one of the bros is holding Allie back.
Right. She's going to break up.
Because he's just getting, because he knows that Johnny's not going to.
Well, he's making her watch. Right. Which is what a good henchman does. Right. He makes her observe what she's created.
Feel like this is not a high school style fight.
No, absolutely. Considering that everyone in the fight was actually in their 30s, that makes a lot of sense.
In their 30s, but they look like they're 17. All of them.
Daniel gets a black eye. And then the next morning pops up
the baby Browns.
And it's the first fucking day of school. Yeah, it's right. They're out partying the night before the first day of school. He comes into the kitchen dressed just like Marion Cobretti, Sylvester Stallone's character from the movie Cobra. Same glasses, same everything. Movie came out about the same time, obviously an homage. Mom wasn't having it, but she wasn't having it enough to realize that he didn't actually fall off his bike, correct?
She wanted to see the baby Browns.
That's right. She did.
But Show me the baby Browns.
While she wants to see the baby Browns, he has lived in town for, we're under the assumption, 36 hours, 48 hours,
less,
something like
fewer.
That. And that kitchen, they made it up to the point where she had a bunch of pictures
spices.
Of cake and recipes stuck to the fridge. Like, what the fuck were you doing last night while he was at that beach party? there's like a bunch of magazine cutouts, like all these ripped out pictures of cake. It's crazy. What were you doing, Mrs. LaRusso?
Excellent point. Many, many, many continuity errors in the Karate Kid film. That's just one excellent point, Ed. So Daniel ends up riding his weird big cruiser BMX bike to school. He's cutting off the bus. He's really making a scene.
You got a cue Cruel Summer by Bananarama. And I don't know about the other people in this room, but that was the best song that Bananarama ever put out.
It's the best song on the soundtrack.
It was a jam.
Oh, by far.
It was a jam, no doubt. He gets to school. It's 16 minutes, 40 seconds into the movie, and the Cobra Kai have their fucking hair on display. We'll get to this later. All of the Cobra Kai are probably sociopaths, but Tommy may be the biggest sociopath. And the way he's styling his hair on the first day of school could be
a potential indicator.
Yeah, he's got it flipped back. They're all sort of like, it's not really sure whose motorcycle it is. I think it's Johnny, but they're all kind of like hanging, like leaning on it. It's an awkward scene.
Yeah.
It's the center part feathered look.
Very feathered,
yes,
blow dried.
Yes, that's
no product, all blow dry.
That's Tommy's look for sure.
These guys,
the Jan Michael
tough
Vincent,
guys are a little too into their hair.
Jan Michael Vincent, I like that.
Tommy's got a pink polo shirt on. Like everything that's wrong with the 80s is happening.
Tommy's just
Tommy.
Doing what Johnny tells him to do.
That's true.
Let's be honest. Like Tommy, Tommy's got problems, and Tommy's not a leader. Tommy's a follower.
Right.
So Johnny needs to set a better example for the rest of the
Cobra
Kai.
Know at some point, and this scene probably gets deleted, but Johnny's like, hey, Tommy, get to sucking.
that wasn't a scene.
And Tommy gets to work for sure. That
would have
got him
Tommy.
A PG-13. Ed, anything to add?
No, I was just going to say, you skipped over his first encounter with Miyagi, right?
Yeah, we didn't talk
about that.
That's right, yeah.
Oh,
yes, that's right.
Very racist scene, trying to catch the chopsticks, the broken English. It's just a little disturbing.
Also, Miyagi's room, I feel like, is a sex den. He goes down there to tell him. He's not a very helpful handyman, is he? Ed?
I can tell you, if I went to my maintenance guy in my building – and he was sitting there with chopsticks chasing flies, and he goes, after, I would call his management and have him fired that
after. Of course.
I mean, and isn't that the essential question here? Like, after we see that Miyagi, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but he collects vintage cars. He has this massive property wherever it is. Are we sure that he isn't the manager of the apartments? And if he is,
he owns the building.
He must, right?
Yeah.
He must. Because, the guy that does bonsai tree decorative – whatever he's doing, and then he does the fly catching, and then he's trying to seduce a 14-year-old. It's like
and he already turned Freddy out.
You would think that a manager would be like, you're doing all this, and there's a pool that isn't functioning.
Yes.
What's going on with the pool?
The pool's got 14 inches of dirty water.
But I bought that brand new swan.
And a swan.
And West Nile mosquitoes floating around. There's a half-dead woman. She may or may not live there. No one's sure. She's got a dog. Yeah, a very awkward encounter. Also, to Ed's point, how was Mrs. LaRusso? LaRusso.
Oh.
How was Mrs. LaRusso
No sign of Mr. LaRusso. No discussion of Mr. LaRusso at any point.
Because if there was a Mr. LaRusso, he wouldn't have let his kid do karate.
Yeah, that's right.
He would have said, listen, you're not going to do karate. You're going to try out for the baseball team. Yeah. You're going to try out for the soccer.
Here's a fucking tennis racket.
Right. You're not going to do that.
Yes. Here's a golf ball.
You can't move across the country with a child. Like, you have to think Mr. LaRusso lives in Newark as well.
I think he bounced when Daniel was pretty young.
Do you think there was some concern? Do you think that maybe Mr. LaRusso had given Daniel a 7-iron but saw that he couldn't compress his irons and was like,
maybe that's why he bailed.
Maybe karate's better.
Tell you what he didn't give Daniel was his jeans because his mom has given her her hand-me-downs.
Jeans with a J.
Great point. Okay, so it's after school. Everybody has PE at the same time for some reason. Or it's soccer tryouts, but no one has shin guards or cleats.
Can we cut to the part about Allie's PE shorts?
We're getting to that.
Okay. The short shorts.
Also,
just a little bit too heavy.
There's a lot of like short shorts, no shirt. Like that wasn't allowed when I was in high school. You had to keep your clothes on as a thing. But everybody apparently practices all sports and cheerleading practice with like in the same like 20 square foot area. Mm-hmm. And what happens?
And it's soccer tryouts simultaneously.
Right. And what happens?
And there's cheer practice.
Daniel gets his ass kicked again.
Bobby baits him into the fight.
Right.
That's right.
He hooked me.
The all-knowing nod with Johnny, and then he did it.
It was weird. They had this entire conspiratorial huddle and wink, wink, nod, nod. We thought it was a huge plan, and it just ended up somebody tripped him on the way with the ball.
It had a very prison yard vibe to it, that scene.
And she reveals, she's like, I've been practicing my soccer juggling moves. And it's like, when? After you saw me get beaten to a pulp?
Yes.
Or during history class 5 hours ago? Like, when did she have time to practice?
I thought the same thing. She was a terrific juggler, and he had only showed her how to juggle 12 hours before.
Right.
But that sad back handspring she does, that was her big stunt of the movie.
Well, that was a thing. She obviously had been coached up at the cheerleading. She had a very, very what looked to be a clearly difficult jump situation.
It's all about center of mass.
Yes.
and committing to the flip.
That's right.
And getting it to go so it'll spin the two ends of it around.
Right.
But her weight distribution is not ideal for
that's for sure.
So it just didn't, it was not fluid.
You know, she was on the phone with her agent, like, get that fucking scene out of this movie. It did not do her any favors.
No favors. Also, what's up with Allie's Jewish brunette friend who looks like someone's mom? I think her name's Susan.
Yes. Yeah, she was 37 years old.
Biggest wet blanket in movie history. That.
Ed, you weren't a fan of hers.
Oh. Well, later at golf and stuff, she turned into an even bigger bitch afterwards.
Yeah. She didn't do it doing her nails.
Yeah, I hated her. She's a super bitch. She was also at the infamous country club dance that we'll talk about
and
later.
And both these chicks need help, major help with their hair.
Right.
I was very distressed about that mom hair, that soccer mom
Allie
hair.
Allie was able to do it with a bandana nearly every day.
A headband.
Yeah. Something tied to keep the hair back. Bangs up front. Maybe that's why she and Johnny broke up, because they essentially were
fighting over headbands,
which was a problem.
Now, Kate, how have you not brought up Danny's look at PE? I mean, maybe of the entire movie, this was the most offensive. It was the cotton sweatpants pulled up to his belly button.
Right.
Gym shirt tucked in.
Yeah.
And pulling his sweats up like to almost, shin high with his white
socks. It was also a muscle shirt. He'd cut the sleeves off. He'd just gotten to school that day. Yeah. They just give him a shirt and he's got scissors right there and just starts cutting away.
These guns got to breathe.
Everyone's shirts look cut up. Allie had like a cut up hoodie on.
On the first day of school. Ed, you have a point to make?
No. No, I have nothing to say.
I'm a little upset
that
Fancy's talking so much junk about Allie. It's starting to bother me a little bit.
She's not a fan.
I agree.
It's going to be uncomfortable.
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
I don't think you understand how important Allie is when I was 14. Right. It wasn't there. You got to understand, the internet wasn't a thing. There was only limited access to things, and this was very important to me.
She made a lot of
too much info zone. This was the last time a normal looking girl was ever cast in a movie. I'm sure of it.
That's true. Yeah, they're all emaciated these days. So after the pivotal PE soccer tryout scene where he's like, I hate this fucking school, and he like loses his shit.
This school sucks.
Also,
I'm gonna go talk about girls with my mom in a restaurant.
Yeah. Also,
no. First of all, he goes home and he starts doing those like girl high kicks in his apartment and sweating like he's menopausal again.
That's
yeah. And Miyagi walks in. So now Miyagi, it takes him 2 days to fix a sink.
Right.
Because Miyagi's behind the sink.
He's hard.
So you're doing some kicks over there, huh?
Yeah. Slow down.
Kick that a little higher.
Can you kick a little higher?
Kick a little higher.
Yeah.
Right there. Right there.
Keep kicking. Hey, come over here. Let me show you something. How come your hands aren't dirty?
I have a question.
You're lucky you know her to hand. Yeah, because he doesn't want him to have rough hands. He's like, here, you try lotion.
I have a question. When Trav recovers. Did Pat Morita in real life, did Pat Morita speak like that? Or was
no,
he doing that?
No, he's pigeon,
was he doing oh, that he's, Japanese he's pigeon
Arnold.
English?
He's from L.A., just like everyone else.
How would we know? The only two things he was Mr. Miyagi and Arnold.
But he spoke to
his English in the Happy Days wasn't much
that's
better.
True. That's true. Ed, you were going to make a point, and I think I know what you're talking about. Lucille LaRusso had made cakes, she'd done baking, she'd done all these things. 2 days had gone by, and it turns out her sink had not been fixed.
Yeah. That after took 48 hours,
yes,
and he finally repairs it. And then on top of that, he sees, like we were talking about, he sees him trying to learn karate from a book, and he's got all this knowledge, and he knows why he's trying to learn karate, because he kind of talks about, you know, fighting and defending himself. And like he's like, I'm going to see how this plays out first. Let's see him get his ass kicked a few times. Then I'll teach him.
Yeah, he sees the black eye. He knows he's had his ass kicked, and he does nothing. But classic predator behavior, obviously. Okay, so the next big scene in the movie, the next pivotal scene, Daniel goes to the dojo. Johnny's bangs are styled over his headband as always. He's going there to learn karate, but he's exposed to Marty Cove, Mr. John Kreese.
Is that the sensei?
Former Green Beret.
Poor man.
Is
Val
that
Kilmer?
The sensei?
Right. Yes. Army karate champion. He does not fuck around. He's got a black gi. Everyone else has a white one.
Does anyone know what that tattoo that he has on his arm is?
I kick ass is what that means.
And what is that way?
Strike first! Strike hard! No mercy, sir!
I can't hear you!
Ed, any thoughts on the dojo scene the first time we see John Kreese?
And why wouldn't... Well, I like my favorite part of that dojo is he's got a cardboard cutout of himself right by the door.
Of course he does.
That was pretty awesome.
Of course he does. He's marketing
like, him. Hey, what's going on here? But when he makes eye contact with Johnny, one of the moves could have been like, all right, I joined this karate class. Like, maybe I can become one of these assholes with them. Instead, he just shakes his head. He shakes his head. And he's like, oh, no, I got to go talk to my mom.
Yeah. Right. Good point.
I got to go over to Orient Express restaurant and go
talk to
my
mom. A lot of problems.
But she was going to learn computers. She was going to get involved, invested in
computers.
Well,
turns out the benefits with being a hostess at a restaurant.
She's a manager.
Computers couldn't.
She mentions that they're going to, like, and she also gets promoted 24 hours into the job. She goes, they're going to train me to be a manager. So, like, what did you go over for to be a hostess?
She had to go to night classes to become a manager at the restaurant.
At a Chinese restaurant that doesn't serve Chinese food.
Right, the Orient Express.
It doesn't take too much training to say, here are your chicken fingers, sir.
Also, why is Daniel drinking milk with his dinner like a toddler?
Because he's a huge pussy. Right. That's why.
Again, that's the lack of the father influence. So that scene where they're talking, there's this weird thing where I don't know if the movie makers intentionally did this or if it's just kind of an oversight or what, but as Daniel and his mother are talking, you see the Cobra Kai guys see both of them in the window, they conspiratorially again get in that huddle where they talk and
it
they come
Tommy
up with some plan.
Wait,
you spend the rest of the scene wondering what are they going to do to sabotage the dinner, and then nothing happens. Yeah.
Well, hold on,
no
hold
payoff.
On, Ed. Very important distinction to make. Very important point.
They all say goodbye, and then Tommy crosses the street.
That's right.
He runs back and gets him, and it's like he must have gone back and said, "Hey guys, let's wait for another hour and a half and just hang out, and then we're going to, and then we're going to go follow."
Oh, is that it?
Yes,
that's what we're supposed to guess.
But they all race down the street like little fairies. They're so excited. They go running away like yippee! That's, and then
if I could interject, and I believe you've characterized me as every bully in every 80s movie ever.
Yeah.
So I tend to see what the Cobra Kai were up to at this point.
Yeah. Okay, tell me.
Kind of you're giving us into their behind shoes. Enemy lines, you can tell.
Right. Elucidate.
So what they were doing was, is they saw him in a vulnerable moment. And they were collecting information to use against him
when
he was more vulnerable. And so they could say, you remember that time you were with having lunch with your mom in that restaurant alone?
Yes.
And we were all with our friends and our girls, and you were there. See, what they're doing is when you're a bully,
you're always
looking for a weapon to use against somebody else. And that's what they were doing. It wasn't one of those things where they were just going to like go and steal his bike or beat him up again. It was reconnaissance to go and make him feel worse about himself on the inside.
And
which is where a bully does his real damage.
We learn what their plan was because this happens a lot in this movie. Daniel LaRusso's eating at his mom's restaurant. It's, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's perfectly light. The sun is riding high in the sky. The next scene, it's fucking pitch black. The moon is out. It's looks like it's 5 hours later.
Is that like a 12-course meal?
Yeah. There's so many continuity things in this movie.
He's riding his bike home. How far away was the restaurant to his house?
He already rode to Malibu and back in one day.
Yes, because it's so dark, and we learn that the Cobra Kai has lay in wait.
Yes.
And they ride
That's what cobras do.
They ride up on their motorcycles. Ed, what happens next?
Attempted murder happens.
Pretty much.
That's exactly right.
It's not like just bully behavior.
Can we talk about that fall that he does off his bike?
They try to kill him.
Yeah. They run him off the road.
He purposely, it looks like he falls off his bike on purpose.
Here's end of movie right there. Call the police.
Right. Yeah.
They try to kill me.
These people tried to kill me. They're terrorizing me.
I want to report five guys for trying to murder me.
So
you can't put some and by the way, he was riding through what looked like the E.T. houses, the dirt roads and everything.
There's no
they
place
were riding
like that in the
with
the
E.T. and
all
like,
concrete.
Yeah, of course. And he tumbles down the hill and it turns out that his apartment is like at the bottom of the hill.
He took a bad route. He took a bad route. He went away. Like he was going around to the high point.
Why did he ride to the top of a hill where his house was?
As they say in football. He took a bad angle, as they say in football.
Took a bad route.
It felt like, too, that this was at the point, and even as a younger man watching the movie, and certainly as an adult looking back on it at this point, this is where you kind of want the Cobra Kai to kill him.
That's exactly right.
It kind of changed.
He's
from,
a
you
pussy.
Know, you kind of want this guy to succeed. He's a guy. Now you're like, you know what? I really dislike him.
And
I want the Cobra Kai to hurt him. I want – maybe he'll break his leg. Maybe they'll do something terrible. You want him to be – damaged permanently, so and then you want the Cobra Kai to succeed.
So
I agree.
If I could take it from here, because I remember it so well. So he almost dies. They almost commit murder. He gets to his apartment complex, throws the bike in the dumpster as if it's the bike's fault.
That bike, I hate this bike. I hate this freaking bike. This stupid bike. I hate it. Daniel, what's the matter?
Yeah,
he explodes in rage against his bike. He's not mad at Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah.
He's mad
five
at
motorcycles
his
ran
bike.
This ran you off a road.
Yes.
What the fuck
it's
is
the
wrong
bike's
with
fault.
You?
It's the bike's fault.
And he begins to like cry and stammer, and his mother says, "What's wrong?" And again, five teenagers conspired to almost murder me, Mom. At least we could do is go to the principal, but we can go to the cops. They've already beat me up. But his answer. Mom,
we need to move.
I need to learn karate.
That's right.
That was his response. That's the response.
That's right. Yeah. So he gets his ass kicked again. He's had several ass beatings at the hands of the Cobra Kai. Now Miyagi hanging out in his shed. It's late at night.
It's late at
lurking.
Night.
Like shouldn't
lurking.
Shouldn't he be back at his place?
Yeah.
When you're a predator, you keep weird hours the opportunity to snatch isn't going to come on at noon when there's people around.
You're on the grave shift at this point.
And that's why he fixes Daniel's bike overnight, whereas it takes him two days to fix Mrs. LaRusso because he's got no interest
for the
in her sink.
And the pool.
Yeah. So wait, this is the trimming the bonsai tree scene to the pan flute music, right? It's very homoerotic scene, let's be honest. Yeah. And he says something to him about trimming my baby tree.
Right. Well, hold on. Let's back up a little bit, because then he shows up to school the next day. He's wearing fatigues.
That's right.
He's got a JCPenney plaid shirt over a ring neck t-shirt, all of it tucked into fatigues. Has Daniel stopped to think that maybe he's getting his ass kicked all the time because of his terrible style choices?
Well, he's getting his ass kicked because he deserves to get his ass kicked. This is not one of these things where they picked on a kid that was disabled or weak. They picked on him because he's a punk.
Yeah, and he sucks.
They're trying to do him a favor, quite frankly. The best thing
I think you might be right.
Was to beat his ass until he says, guys, I can't take this anymore. What do I need to do to get you to leave me alone? And then they'll help him.
And then Johnny's like, you need to suck Tommy's dick. I think that's clear.
Then maybe he made the right choice.
I think
also, this is like how many days after the black eye?
The eye clears up very quickly. It's
and
like,
now he's, got
he's
a,
about to lose an eye the first day. The next day, it's like
now
just
he's
a
got
little
a,
line.
Now he's got a scrape and a bruise on his head, but by the end of the day, that's kind of gone too.
It's oozing, though.
Vitamin
it's,
E.
It's oozing the whole time. So he comes home. His bike is all fixed up. And as we've discussed, this is clearly the first concrete incidents of Miyagi's pederast tendencies.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's effective because Daniel, he sees his bike fixed. What's he do?
Goes to say thanks.
He immediately runs down to Miyagi's sex den. And what does Miyagi tell him to do immediately?
Trim my baby tree.
Close his eyes.
Oh, that's right.
Close your eyes. And what's he say? Hey, close eye. Think about tree.
Only tree.
What's he thinking there? Ed, anything to add?
No, you're covering it pretty good.
Okay. So Daniel's back in the maintenance shed presenting his nubile hindquarters while Miyagi's licking his lips. And inexplicably, he's rocking a Kellen Winslow jersey. This is the next
day. Hold on, stop. Oh, no, stop. Wes Chandler. It's a Wes Chandler jersey. Right. If we're going to do this, let's be
and there's
let's
a,
accurate.
There's a lot to discuss with that choice.
Party foul. That was awful.
Ed, do you have thoughts on the pre-Halloween scene?
Well, one, he was not dressed to... He wasn't like saying, I'll go as a football player for Halloween. He was just wearing that Wes Chandler jersey.
Yeah, he's a big Charger fan.
He's from Jersey. He just moved
Both
from Jersey.
The Rams and the Raiders were still in L.A.
Exactly. The Raiders had just won the Super Bowl.
Raiders had just won the Super Bowl, and Eric Dickerson was on his halfway through... Halloween 84, he's halfway through his 2,100-yard season.
What about the Generals? Herschel Walker, Jim Kelly.
The Giants probably had Lawrence Taylor by then. I think he was a rookie in like 83 or so. He had a lot of jerseys he could have chosen, and he chose a random San Diego Chargers player.
That was Wes Chandler.
Ed,
it is Wes Chandler.
It was what? My bad. Ed, growing up a child of privilege in Jersey like you were, were you taken – how many – did your dad have season tickets to the New Jersey Generals, yes or no?
No, my dad forbade me from watching the USFL. He was like one of those angry guys that are like, there can be only NFL and you're not.
Hero.
Yeah.
Your dad's a hero.
He told me I was not allowed to watch USFL.
Pretty much the entire country agreed with your dad, obviously, as time would allow.
Absolutely. So the next day, the hook is set, obviously. Daniel, what's he doing? He's not up at his baller apartment 20. He's not catching some rays out of the pool. He's down there in his Wes Chandler jersey in the maintenance shack, his new hangout.
Of course.
Getting ready, talking about the dance. We need to discuss the dance.
Well, I mean, let's first of all start off by describing it. For those listeners who haven't seen the movie, Daniel, because he kind of needed to go incognito because he was going to get his ass kicked. So it was kind of a brilliant idea. Miyagi had this shower costume probably ready to go for all of his victims, shower costume.
You got to wash off after you're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he shows up to the dance in a shower with a curtain that nobody can see. But all of a sudden, Allie with an eye
There's
says,
Daniel.
That's Daniel.
There's Daniel.
She knows him so well because she's hung out with him for 5 minutes.
She knows his personality.
I just know that's him.
Yeah.
For someone that has a penchant for getting their ass kicked by bullies.
That's right.
He's doing everything he can.
He really draws a lot of attention to
him. But there was one guy at the party who deserved to get his ass kicked more than Daniel. That was that fucking chicken dude egging everybody.
Yeah.
What was that about? And then he's like, oh, look at this guy. He's crazy. And then he throws an egg on his head. Like, that's not crazy. That's just being an asshole.
Yeah, he's right. But that leads with.
Well, hold on a second. Yes. Let's talk about just how irresponsible the chaperones were anyways. You have a guy walking around throwing eggs on everybody, but what about the fact that they just let a female walk into a shower with
right.
no
right.
chaperoning? He could have been giving
Great
her
point.
The finger bang.
Yeah. Whoa,
the feet. She could have
whoa,
been tugging
whoa,
her.
Whoa,
wow.
Whoa.
Not if Daniel's in the shower.
That's right.
I knew
if
that
Johnny
was
had a shower, Johnny's shower's getting what? Used.
The chaperone was probably like that. Everyone's probably like, oh, they're just doing their nails in there. Don't worry about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So Johnny
doesn't need a shower. He's a date rapist.
Yes, for sure. So the egg, the egging leads us to Daniel's got to go in the bathroom. He's in the bathroom. Bobby comes in a skeleton costume.
By the way, that they were all dressed similarly.
It's a little odd. It's a little odd.
It's they really like to spend time with each other.
It's a little
they
odd.
They like to be similar. And I understand high school mentalities. You don't you want to be one of the guys
right.
that's one of the guys. You
right.
don't want to be the guy that goes outside the group. But mm-hmm. their levels of similarity are a little bit peculiar.
Yeah. It's a bit
except for Lamar from Revenge of the Nerds. They keep him on the outside.
Yeah.
He's in the Cobra Kai. He goes to that dojo.
His job is to get his ass kicked.
But he's dressed as Spider-Man. He doesn't get a dirt bike.
Yeah.
He doesn't get to dress as a skeleton. Like,
what's that all about?
He's a little different than the rest of the guys.
There's the
inner
circle.
He doesn't quite fit in.
He's a lot
can't put my finger on
He's
it.
A lot like Sundown in Top Gun.
Exactly.
He just gets shit on.
Wow.
He gets the shitty roles. Yeah.
You know what? He doesn't have the same hairdo.
Right. He's a little bit different than the rest of the guys. So the Daniel gets egged.
He goes in the bathroom.
He heads into the restroom, and this is where we learn that Daniel might be the true asshole idiot of this
moron.
Movie.
Yeah.
Because there's Johnny with his headphones on. He's having a shit. He's rolling up a joint. Bobby comes in. He's like, what's going on with that number?
Yeah.
Like,
is that a thing?
Yeah, he wants.
Do you call it a number?
He calls it.
But
Bobby does.
I don't. That was never really my scene. Do you call it a number?
Back then they did. For
you
sure.
Did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
never,
okay.
Not where I'm from.
What's going on with that number? And he's like, hey, in a minute. Johnny looks like he's jacked up on amyl nitrate or trucker speed or something. Something's going on. But he's rolling a joint, and then we see Daniel gets the good idea to. There's some strategically placed pipes. And a hose.
Like, where are there exposed pipes like that?
Also.
Or a hose just lying
yeah,
around the bathroom.
There are too many reasons for a hose in a high school gym.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
I mean, I disagree.
Also, you get in there. Johnny's pretty much done with the joint. Like, he's got that thing twisted up. Yeah, like, he's ready to go. And all of a sudden.
And I was really liking the Cobra Kai's when I, you know, saw this going down. I was
I'd like to hang with these guys. Yeah. You know, you guys got a dirt bike icon.
I would have been in the Cobra Kai for sure.
For sure. Yeah, these guys are way cooler. So Daniel attacks Johnny, ruins a perfectly good joint, and then in running away. Causes a huge fucking car accident outside.
Three car accident.
A four car pileup.
Only to be chased down, run into the fence, try to climb over the fence. Hold on.
We got to back up.
Okay, go.
Think about it. Did Daniel have a plan?
Mm-mm.
His plan was
thing.
To get the guy wet.
Yeah.
Did he think it through?
Yeah. Also,
it was get the guy wet
also,
and run?
Also, his athleticism.
No, it was very spontaneous.
His athleticism. He had a huge head start on them, and they caught him. Like,
right.
In no time. He couldn't get over the fence.
Daniel's not an elite athlete.
Also, he's got Allie and her big old titties in his shower.
Right.
That's right.
And he's like,
care?
You know what? I'm going to go fuck with the Cobra Kai and run away.
And then get caught.
But see, again, we're not worried about Johnny with Allie because that's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's clear. Yeah, obviously not.
I want to point out.
Go.
How does Daniel get caught?
Okay.
Climbing
yes.
over a fence.
Yes. Slow play this. He's trying to climb the fence. Mm-hmm. The Cobra Kai come kick the shit out of
hang
him.
Hang on.
They pull him off that
this
fence.
Is,
hold
this
on.
Is
hold
Johnny's
on. Got
worst,
something.
Johnny's worst moment. He turns into my 63-year-old aunt because he goes, you couldn't leave well enough alone, could you, Daniel? Who says that?
Yes.
Also, somebody else at some point said, that don't mean squat.
Yes.
Sick burn.
They do. There also is it take a worm for a walk?
Oh, my God. Take a worm for a walk.
Quote of the movie. Quote of the movie.
You're dead meat.
Yes. So
Bobby is the best character.
Daniel can't get over the fence. The Cobra Kai pull him off, and they're really kicking the shit out of him. You see,
Bobby tries. Bobby says he's had enough.
Yeah, Bobby tries to defend. Yeah. In the one, this is why this is why Tommy and Dutch are bigger sociopaths than Bobby.
Because
Bobby thinks he's had enough.
It's a little conscience.
Then in the background, you see the maintenance man coming over the fence. He's jumping the fence, he's in soft focus. He comes down. Daniel's bleary eyed. He can only see what's happening. And all of a sudden, the Cobra Kai get the living shit kicked out of them by Miyagi. Mm-hmm. It all ends. Miyagi.
Tommy, Bobby, get him.
Miyagi picks up Daniel and helps him away. And what's he do, Kate?
They open the gate that was not locked.
The gate was never locked.
Insult to injury, as far as I'm concerned.
He could have opened the gate, ran right up to apartment 20 or in the maintenance shed and been fine. And not only that, Miyagi didn't need to jump the fence to beat the guy's ass. He could have just walked. Hey, what are you guys doing? Open the gate. Kick the shit out of him.
Personally lost a lot of faith in Miyagi in that moment, and then in a moment that's coming up later, I lost the rest
the
of it.
Fence.
And I'd like to ask Trav, did you name your son Bobby after Bobby in this movie?
No, I, well.
Are you sure?
I kind of wish I had, but no.
Bobby was a good guy. Bobby was all right.
He was trying.
It's between Dutch and Tommy for the biggest sociopath, and I would argue that Tommy, not solely based on hair, but a lot has to do with hair. Tommy might be the biggest sociopath in the Cobra Kai. This concludes part one of episode 52, the All Valley Karate Championship episode of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. That was me, your host, Brian Beckner, joined by co-host Ed Daly, pop culture reporter Kate Fancy Sauce McManus, and special guests Travis Rogers and Jason Stewart. Go to theballerlifestyle.com and download part two, or find it on iTunes.